Can we pray for a person's salvation after they've died? Before we delve into this question, let's establish that praying for and offering sacrifices for the dead so they will be allowed into heaven has always been part of the true religion. Job made sacrifices to God for his children after they had died. Job 1:5. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. The book of Maccabees says in 2 Maccabees 12:46, "It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins." The Apostle Paul prayed for his friend who had died, 1 Timothy 1, 16-18. "May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chains. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day." And praying for the dead was clearly practiced in Paul's time, apparently with his approval. 1 Corinthians 15:29. "Otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf?" Saints Augustine and Ambrose taught that the parable of the dishonest steward in Luke 16, 1-13 was about praying for the dead. The master calls in his steward to give an account of all the people who owe him money. The steward had been dishonest with his master's money, and afraid that he would get fired, he begins canceling the debts of his master's debtors so they will help him after he is let go. When the master hears of this, he is pleased with the steward, and the moral of the story is, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal habitations. The master is God, you are the unjust steward, and the master's debtors are the souls in purgatory. That's why the master was pleased when the steward began canceling the debts of his debtors, because God is pleased when we cancel the debts of the souls in purgatory. And by doing so, the souls in purgatory will then help us when our time comes. So no, it does not mean that you can be dishonest in business dealings. The early church continued this practice of praying for the dead. Inscriptions of prayers for the dead are found in the catacombs, such as, "If any of the brethren reads this, let him ask that this holy and innocent soul may be received by God." And, "Make petition for us, pray for your parents, pray for your sister, help us when you come to the judge." And I, Abacus, ordered this to be inscribed, "Truly I was in my 72nd year. May everyone who is in accord with this and who understands pray for Abacus." The Liturgy of Adea and Mary from the year 200 AD says as follows, "O Christ, spare the offenses and sins of the dead through your grace and mercies forever." The early church fathers confirmed this practice. Tertullian wrote in 216 AD, "We offer sacrifices for the dead on their birthday anniversaries, the date of their death. A woman after the death of her husband prays for his soul and asks that he may, while waiting, find rest and that he may share in the first resurrection. And each year on the anniversary of his death, she offers the sacrifice." Cyprian of Carthage said in 253 AD, "It is important that all of us on both sides of death must always pray for one another." But the church has always understood this as praying for the souls in purgatory, those souls who have been saved yet lack the perfection necessary to enter heaven. Our prayers and sacrifices aid in that perfection process so that they can enter into heaven. But what I'm asking is fundamentally different. Can we pray for someone's salvation after they've died? Well, what are funerals for? Unfortunately, modern man has lost the true meaning of funerals. They are not to celebrate the deceased's life and tell funny stories about them. They are not only for the living to say goodbye to their loved ones, but more importantly, they are for the living to pray for the deceased person so they can enter heaven. It is said that the deceased do not care about your tears. Your tears are for you, but your prayers are for them. But are these prayers simply to get them out of purgatory? Many Catholic websites, in answering the question, "What happens when you die?" say this, The primary purpose of a funeral mass is, of course, to pray for the salvation of the deceased. In fact, in the prayers at the funeral mass, the priest or deacon says, "Forgive blank his or her sins and grant him or her a place of happiness, light, and peace in the kingdom of your glory forever and ever." Now that sounds like a plea for the person's salvation to me. And of course, Jesus affirms in the Gospels that sins can be forgiven after death, Matthew 12:32. "And whosoever speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But he that shall speak against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor the world to come." So if a man dies on Tuesday and we can pray for his salvation on Saturday, why can't we pray for his salvation a month, a year, or 100 years later? Does God wait until the funeral to hear our prayers before he decides where the man will spend all eternity? No. In fact, Catholic doctrine says that when we die, we go immediately to our judgment and receive our reward or punishment, our eternal destination, hell, heaven, and if heaven, possibly purgatory, is fixed the moment we die, and nothing can change it. Then how can we pray for the salvation of the deceased a week after they die at their funeral? Because although we are bound by the constraints of time, God is not. There is no past or future for God, only the present. God sees all human history from Adam and Eve to the second coming of Christ in one eternal now, and he can intervene at any moment in our history. And there is an eternity for God to work in that split second between life and death. God hears our prayers for someone's salvation whom to us died 50 years ago and can apply those prayers to the moment of their death. Many pious traditions say that at the moment of death, God gives every single person one last chance at salvation. One tradition says that St. Michael comes to take the soul to their judgment, giving them one last chance for salvation on the way. According to the Divine Mercy devotion, Jesus comes 3 times to every soul at the moment of death, giving them a last chance at salvation. Now you might think that if this is true, then there's no need to pray for their salvation. But Catholic tradition also says that Satan and his demons come to drive the dying person to despair and to reject God's mercy. Our prayers can be the difference between the dying person accepting or rejecting God's gift of salvation. Through our pleadings with God, he can give the person final perseverance, the grace of perfect contrition, which forgives all sins. And if they haven't been baptized, he can give them the desire for baptism, either explicit or implicit, which will serve as their baptism. Now you might think, well, why doesn't God just give everyone these graces? Why do we have to pray for them? I don't really know the answer to that, other than to say that all Christians recognize that praying for sinners who are alive can lead to their conversion and salvation. I'm simply extending that reality to after death. In one of St. John Chrysostom's homilies on praying for the dead, he proposes someone giving him this objection: "But I mourn this dear deceased because he died a sinner." St. John's answer is this: "Is not this a vain pretext? You must in the first place go to his help as far as you are able, not with tears, but with prayers, supplications, alms, and sacrifices. Is it not one of God's ways to do good to some out of regard for others? Let us then show ourselves eager to aid our dear deceased and earnestly and perseveringly pray for them. Why then are you still in such grief? Why this despondency, those lamentations? May not so great a grace be obtained for him whom you have lost?" And we have confirmation of this through the writings of St. Gertrude. She complains to Jesus in one of her writings about a sinner who had died, saying, quote, "Thou couldst have inspired me with that thought and granted me the grace to pray for this soul, without being compelled to do so by tenderness or compassion." Jesus answers her, "If thou were to ask me for it with confidence now, for my divine light piercing into the future made known to me that thou would offer this prayer for him, therefore I placed good dispositions in his heart to prepare him for the enjoyment of the fruits of thy charity." Jesus tells St. Gertrude that he knew she would plead with him for this man's salvation, and in light of that future prayer, Christ gave him the graces necessary to be saved. In the diary of St. Faustina, she says that praying the chaplet of divine mercy for a person who is dying can be the difference between them being saved or being damned. Father Chris Alar of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, who are the keepers of the Divine Mercy devotion, says that this indeed can be done for the person even years after their death. So, as far as I'm concerned, the answer to the question, can we pray for a person's salvation, not just to get them out of purgatory, but for their salvation after they've died, is yes. So we should never despair the loss of a soul, regardless of the condition of their spiritual life, whether they died Catholic, Protestant, Jew, pagan, agnostic, or even atheist. God desires all men to be saved. Of course, that doesn't mean all are saved. They're not. But look at what Our Lady said to the children at Fatima after she showed them hell. She said, "You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to My Immaculate Heart." She also told them, "Many souls go to hell because there are none to make sacrifices and pray for them." One of the main messages of Fatima is to pray for sinners. Our prayers can make the difference between the person being saved or being damned. Obviously, we should not wait till someone dies before we pray and make sacrifices for them, but their death should not end that practice. So here's what I do when someone dies. I go to confession to make sure I'm in a state of grace. Then I pray a chaplet of Divine Mercy for their salvation. Then I pray the rosary every day for several days for them, giving them all the indulgences. And the next Sunday, I at least attempt to earn them a plenary indulgence. I don't think we can truly know if we are unattached to all sin. But that's my process. If it's family, I'll do more. But I would encourage everyone, especially since it's November, to pray not just for the souls in purgatory, but for the salvation of those whom you knew in this life who have died. It's probably why you knew them in the first place. Until my next video, God bless.